You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, after a short break, we're back at full force. It's the Nerd Overload, your favorite pop and geek culture show. I'm Cody, and my Australian Hogwarts house is Drop Bear.
I'm Sam, and my Australian Hogwarts house is Knife.
I'm Josh, and my Australian Hogwarts house is
Foster's.
Probably.
I'm Samantha, my house is Scary Giant Spiders.
Perfect. All right, we have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning back in. We have some news to go over, believe it or not, but first let's get in some things we've been checking out.
Well, we all saw Doctor Strange. Do we want to start with Doctor Strange?
I mean, we could, yeah. We're probably going to get into some spoilers on this. The movie's been out for a couple of weeks, so yeah. I think we're okay. Well, let's do a quick non-spoiler talk, and then we'll kind of talk about some, get a little more in-depth. Overall, I enjoyed it more or less. I really enjoyed it walking out of the theater, but the more I've kind of sat and thought about it, I've kind of cooled on it a little bit. I still enjoyed it. I still thought it was a very good Marvel movie, but it's very much a Marvel movie.
Oh, yeah.
With all of the trappings of it. And there are some issues that I have with it.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it. I mean, you're right. It does have its issues, but like, I'm just so stoked on the magic stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's all really cool.
The visuals were great.
Yeah.
Visuals were great, but I saw it all in
Inception.
Inception, yeah. It all kind of looked like that a little bit, like the buildings like folding in on each other and spinning and stuff.
Yeah, but they actually did stuff with that.
That's true. That is true.
In Inception, they're just like, look at this.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, true. Very true.
Like, this took the visuals of Inception and actually used them for something.
Like, they traversed through it, yeah.
Yeah, or fought on the twisting buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just chock full of explosions either. I like that. It was different kind of visuals. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the trippy stuff was great, although I wish there was more of
it. I wish that was like 90% of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. One of my friends said he pretty much thinks it's like replaced like Guardians of the Galaxy as like his favorite Marvel movie.
And oh, that's
like,
not.
No. Guardians not is even just close. Too perfect.
Yeah.
It was like the perfect storm of a crazy movie that just did really well. I really, really liked Doctor Strange. I really did. The fights were interesting. The special effects were amazing. The art was really good. The costumes, even though I thought looked hokey in the stills, looked a lot better in motion.
Yeah, and the stills, they really look like Benedict Cumberbatch and his magic LARP adventure.
Yeah. I mean, it still kind of looked like that.
A little bit.
One thing that kind of like I thought was interesting was the fact that there are no guns in that movie.
Yeah,
that's true.
There's not one gun.
Not a single magic gun.
Or just gun, period.
I know. Oh, yeah.
Good, because guns are boring.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. One of the things that I kind of had an issue with, and this is true for a lot of Marvel movies, especially some of these later in the series ones, the villain for the majority of the movie was completely forgettable.
Oh, yeah.
To the point where I can't even remember the guy's name. Like
something with a V.
Something.
No, it was
Velarde.
Claudius. Claudius.
Vince Clortho. Keymaster of Gozer. No.
Vivaldi.
Vivendi. He's a video game company. No. See, yeah, that's just it. There was no.
He had weird eyes.
Yeah, he had glittery eye makeup.
Yeah. And he just was there.
I'm going to do a bad thing for reasons.
Yeah. Watch me do the bad
can
thing.
Can we talk about Benedict's American accent?
Yeah. Oh, you mean Dr. House?
Yeah.
He just, every time he opened his mouth, I thought I was watching, for a half second, I thought I was watching an episode of House. Hello.
With like 40 cheeseburgers.
Hello, I am an American.
Yeah.
Watch me talk about American things.
Hugh Laurie would have made a decent Doctor Strange.
An older, like, kind of grizzled Doctor Strange. That would have been great.
Yeah.
But
they should have just got Peter American. Capaldi. Peter Capaldi for Doctor Strange.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
Doctorception.
You think he could hire a better, like, voice coach?
But maybe, maybe this is the best he could do.
I mean, he's done other accents in other movies, and they all sound weird.
Sure, yeah.
Like in that the movie where he plays the WikiLeaks guy, he had an Australian accent. And that was really weird.
Hello, this is my Australian accent, mate. Yeah, it was really enjoyable. I wish Rachel McAdams had more to do in it. She was just
kind of there.
Yeah, she was really just kind of there.
That happens to a lot of female, like, love interests.
Well, she wasn't really a love interest, really.
Sort of.
The love interest part had been gone for, like, years prior to this movie.
Yeah.
Although I saw a reviewer online say that, you know, her role was there to give Doctor Strange a case of the not gays. Because what other female character is in this movie?
The ancient one.
Tilda Swinton, who is androgynous and, like, asexual. Like,
and probably miscast.
And, I mean, Doctor Strange, he's just hanging out with Mordo and Wong, and that's it.
Wonk? I really enjoyed the sequences with Wong.
Yeah, Wong was good.
Yeah, but the humor kind of came out of left field a little bit with that. I think there were points where the script tried too hard to fit in that Marvel humor. I appreciated it. There were points where the levity really worked, but like saying, oh, you're like Wong, you know, like Beyonce. And then a scene later, you see Wong listening to Beyonce.
Yeah. Or the part where, like, he finally learns how to make portals, and then he's stealing all the books, and then Wong's sandwich.
I like that one, though. That one.
No, I like that one, too.
Yeah, that's kind of a good joke, but, yeah.
There was one with a snack machine that was kind of dumb later.
That was kind of dumb.
I don't remember the snack machine.
It was toward the end.
Yeah.
Like, a guy buys a snack, and then something hits the machine.
And it spits out.
Oh, it's when they're invisible fighting.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I liked the ethereal fight scene. I thought
the astral plane stuff that was really well done.
Oh, can we just say that the levitation cloak was probably the best comedian of the whole movie?
Yeah.
Oh sure, yeah. And Disney got a really good chance to practice for their eventual Aladdin
film
live action movie because Doctor Strange's cape is pretty much the flying carpet, like just the flying carpet.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has the same personality.
I mean, I saw people make the same. Connections online.
Okay, let's get into some. We've already been a little bit spoilery. Let's talk about the end of the movie. This is definite spoiler territory, and we can talk about the post credit stuff a little bit because some of that was pretty good. One of the things that I enjoyed the most about the movie was the way they dealt with Dormammu at the end.
Yeah,
the whole Groundhog's Day style kind of.
Yeah,
he solved the problem without. Fighting at all.
Without throwing a punch, yeah.
But the fact that he knew he couldn't beat Dormammu.
Yeah.
It was very Doctor Who. It was the way the Doctor would have handled that situation.
Absolutely. He just kind of waited him out, and that's cool. It would be interesting to know how long he spent getting smashed and destroyed over and over and over again. Like, was it like 6 months? Was it like a year? Was it like 1,000 years of getting destroyed before Dormammu went, let me out of this time loop?
Well, I read a couple of things online. There was a deleted line that where Doctor Strange said they've done it at least 1,000 times.
Oh, wow.
And there's another, somebody had a theory that the reason why Doctor Strange is so much better at magic after that is because he was kind of training that whole time when he was stuck in that loop.
That makes sense. He did come out of that time loop like a little bit grayer, I think. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Or at least one of the post-credit sequences, he looked just like Doctor Strange. He had the gloves and like everything. But I really enjoyed that. I thought that was well done. I'm glad they set up Baron Mordo as like an actual villain because Mordo is like the one... besides Dormammu, Doctor Strange doesn't really have a whole lot of nemeses.
No, he just mostly fights this kind of extra plane old monsters and
but
stuff.
But Mordo is like the one kind of name villain.
Because your name can't be Mordo and you not be a bad guy.
Yeah.
It's a bad guy's name.
Yeah, and it really did a really good job setting up his reasonings behind going and like destroying all wizards.
Yeah, maybe we'll have a villain, like a decent villain in a future Doctor Strange movie.
Yeah, I hope so. I really hope so.
I was going to say, that's the... biggest problem with the Marvel movies is they all have terrible villains.
Yeah. With the exception of like Loki, and I always like Obadiah Stane. I thought he was a really good first.
Oh, the
like,
Iron
out of
Monger.
The gate, Ironmonger.
Yeah.
I didn't care for Ultron, but at least he was developed properly.
He was developed properly. I wish it wasn't Robert California.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hostile takeover.
Rowan was okay.
Ronan? Yeah. He was all right, but kind of bland.
Yeah.
Like, Robert Redford was kind of a lame villain. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to Mordo being
actual. Definitely.
Yeah. And the setup for Thor Ragnarok was pretty good as well. That was a good spot for the Marvel humor.
Yeah. It makes me wonder where, like, if he will make an appearance in the film.
That's what they're saying. That is what that was saying is, yes, I am going to be in this movie also.
I feel like that scene was kind of a nod, like, this is my personal opinion, but like a nod to Sherlock.
In what way?
When Sherlock is consulting with a client in the apartment before a case or during a case,
okay,
it kind of had that same feel for me.
Well, it's because it's Benedict Cumberbatch.
Well, I understand that. I don't know. Maybe it was...
I don't know. I haven't watched enough Sherlock to get that feel, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I just appreciated the scene where he handed Thor a beer. They cut away for a sec, and when they cut back, the beer's just gone.
Yeah.
Like, it's just gone, and it starts, like, magically refilling, and Thor looks
legitimately
impressed.
It's real magic and not space science Viking magic.
Yeah.
It was one of the better after credits they've done in a long time.
I agree with that,
like,
sure.
It was actually entertaining, and it also set something up that was exciting, mm-hmm. like... At least for me. I mean, I love the Thor movies. They're my favorite out of the bunch.
See, they're kind of lower on my list, unfortunately, just because...
I liked the Dark World more than the original Thor.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not really into the fantasy style. I like my fantasy to be sci-fi fantasy, not like hammers and spears and swords and stuff like that. That's not me.
In Thor is so different and weird, though, is what I like about it. Because it's like, these are bad elves, but they're also kind of weird
space aliens.
Elves.
Yeah. That's just not my taste, unfortunately. But I could see how the next Thor movie looks to be probably the best one of the bunch, hopefully.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, because now they're taking, like, Doctor Strange is probably one of my favorite Marvel characters now, and they're mm-hmm. putting him in that movie. Like, I'm stoked.
Yeah. And remember, Hulk's going to be in it.
Yeah.
With elements of Planet Hulk, which is a really good storyline.
Well, elements of Planet Hulk means he's going to be wearing medieval armor.
Probably.
That's probably the extent to that. But maybe. Hey, you know.
Or maybe at some point he'll get kidnapped and thrown into a gladiatorial fight. I don't know.
Who knows? Maybe.
Against,
whatever.
Against the Silver Savage or something.
Do you think they're setting up Dormammu to be the MCU's version of Galactus?
Maybe.
Kind of hope not.
Yeah.
Because they can't use Galactus because it's tied up with Fantastic Four.
I'm kind of hoping by the time we get to a point like that, that they do have some of the rights back and they can use Galactus.
To be honest, I'm kind of hoping we don't get to that point. Because by the time we get past Thanos, and we're going to have like over 20... Marvel superhero movies, at that point I might be like, okay, take a break, okay.
Yeah, chill out on this
just
for a minute,
be cool for like a year or two.
I get that because I'm definitely feeling the burn.
They're dancing really close to burnout for sure.
Yeah.
And this is coming from a guy who loves superheroes and loves this kind of stuff, and I'm starting to get burnout on superhero movies for sure.
Oh yeah, there's so many.
Yeah.
Well, if Doctor Strange wasn't just a little bit different than it was, I wouldn't have given
it would have
crap.
Been yeah, like, it would have been completely just yeah. Because it is a take away the magic elements, it is a by the numbers Marvel origin movie.
Yeah.
Just definitely
to a T.
Yep.
And it's why it's making me hope they do something different with Black Panther and they do something different with Captain Marvel. And they're not just paint by numbers Marvel origin movie, but in different setting.
Yeah.
I think Black Panther has enough different about his backstory that it should be different, but we'll see.
And his backstory was kind of a little told in Civil War.
It was covered a lot in Civil War, yeah.
So I'm kind of hoping maybe they just like Spider-Man Homecoming it and just...
jump into a story.
Yeah.
Without much explanation. I hope so.
We've seen Wakanda, you mm-hmm. know, just go, just run with it.
Yeah.
One thing I am a little annoyed with with the Marvel MCU movies is, and I've said this before, taking all the big artifacts of the Marvel universe and making them all Infinity Gems.
Yeah.
I mean, next thing you know, Mjolnir will be an Infinity Gem.
Probably.
There's a little gem in there.
Yeah, it's what's it's the soul gem. It's why it kind of has a mind of its own a little bit. Oh, no, that might actually be what it is.
That'll be like the last big reveal. Like, well, what's the last stone?
The hammer breaks.
The hammer comes out of Thor's hand. He's like, oh, no.
Yeah, the fact that everything has to be an Infinity Gem. And it's weird that the Mystic Order of whatever that Doctor Strange is part of, like, they know about Infinity Gems. That's kind of weird.
Like, how Wong just, like, mentions it offhand, like
oh, yeah,
it's
this
nothing.
Is nothing. Yeah, that's that hit me kind of weird.
It's like, you don't want to be running around with an Infinity Gem around your neck all the time. I'm like, what?
What?
They've been teasing the Infinity Gems and Thanos and the Gauntlet for so long. It's like, just get to it. Get it over with.
Yeah, just do it. Just do it.
Well, the fact that, you know, it's been teased ever since Thor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even then, back then, they don't think they quite, well, they didn't know they wanted to go that route, because I felt like Odin's armory was kind of more just an Easter egg hunt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure.
Because you had the Gauntlet and you had... I want to say the Eye of Agamotto was there, too.
Probably. Yeah, more than likely.
They were borrowing it for display purposes.
That's it. Yeah, it was a traveling, like,
museum exhibit.
Yeah, museum exhibit. Yeah,
come see the Eye of Agamotto, only in Asgard.
6 weeks only.
All right, well, I think we've talked about this for over 20 minutes, so let's go ahead and move on to some of our other check-it-outs real quick. I can do mine real quick. I watched another movie starring a magic man saving the world from extraplanar monster demon things called Dr. Mordred. Okay, there's a good reason why I watched this. This movie was made in 1992 by Full Moon Pictures. Full Moon Pictures did a lot of... They were like the 90s version of the Roger Corman, like super low-budget sci-fi horror movies. They did a movie called Mandroid about a guy in a wheelchair who put his brain inside a giant robot.
Oh, no.
And they actually did a lot of the Killer Dolls movies, like the little like toys that were like the guy with like the drill head.
Puppet Master.
That's what I meant. And I actually think they made most of their money from the Reanimator movies, which is why they were able to fund all of these other terrible low budget films. Well, the reason why they did I watched this is because at one point in its production, Dr. Mordred, the movie, was Doctor Strange. Like, Full Moon had the rights to Doctor Strange and were working on it, and the rights they didn't get to it in time, and the rights reverted back to Marvel. This would have been in the same vein as like the Captain America movie with J.D. Salinger's kid, the one with the foam ears on the outside of the mask. But so I watched it, and it is just like they just painted over a Doctor Strange story. With, like, he has the little amulet, magic amulet that does the extra powers. In the end fight, he is in an astral form, and he just wears a costume with a cape. It's not great, but it does star Jeffrey Combs from Reanimator.
Yeah, and he's a good actor.
Well, he does a real good job playing someone who doesn't act like a human in this. Does a real good job of it. But I'm not going to get too far into it because I'm actually writing a review of it. Like a full-blown review.
Yay.
So, yeah, so you can go over to the website eventually and read that, hopefully, if I ever get 5 minutes to sit down and write it. The only other thing I checked out, and I can do this real quick, there is a show on Netflix that I've been watching. It's an 18-episode show called Terrace House.
We watched the first one.
It's, what'd you think?
I liked it.
Yeah.
I want to watch more of them.
Yeah, it is like kind of like Big Brother a little bit. It's a Japanese reality show. With three guys and three girls living in a giant house in the middle of Tokyo together. And they're all so, like, shy and professional.
And polite.
And polite and nice. It's weird. It's charming. It's I don't know. It's just weird.
It's not like, you know, our garbage reality where it's all drama and whatnot.
Oh, no. Not at all. They do have, like, comedians. There's, like, cutaways to, like, comedians talking about the show and kind of commenting on things.
Making fun of different characters. Mm-hmm. Not characters, but people in the house.
Yeah.
A little bit.
In later episodes, one of them goes to get their breakfast and someone made it for them, and they take the cover off of the plate, and in ketchup is written the word coward on top of like the food because they did something, and it for the rest of the series it is referred to as the coward incident. And at one point, like one of the housemates was given like some Kobe beef as like a, you know, you did a good job at work, here is some delicious meats or something, and one of the other like roommates eats it. So
oh,
no. So the next morning you see the one guy come down for breakfast and the other five are sitting at the table all just looking at him. And they're very quietly and politely and professionally going, sit down, please. We have something we need to discuss with you. Whereas an American show would be like, they'd be throwing crap at each other, yeah, and like just screaming.
Oh, no. Somebody would have charged up those stairs and drug him down by his toes.
Oh yeah. No, they were very professional about it. Did you eat my Kobe beef?
I believe you have my stapler.
Yeah, pretty much. Also, at one point, a half-American guy shows up and starts hitting on all of the ladies. And all the comedians are like, is that how they do it in America? Is that how this works? Whoa, we don't understand. All right, it's great. It's great. It's 18 episodes, and it's a nice, refreshing break from the American-style reality show.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been...
Where everybody acts like turds.
Exactly, yeah.
Jersey Shore, Yokohama.
Kind of, but everyone's real nice.
I've been playing a few different things. I have been playing a lot of Animal Crossing.
Cool.
Since I got it for the cheaps.
Yeah.
And the update came out.
Yeah, with that new update.
Yeah.
That's a good update.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoy it.
I'm still really early in it. I'm trying to get people to donate to build a bridge.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing. I restarted playing it, and I need a bridge badly.
Yeah, don't ever rely on your townspeople to help pay for anything. You got to pay for it yourself, because they will pay like $5 a day. It'll never get done if you wait for them. Yeah. Yeah, they're all kind of stingy.
Yet they want me to do stuff all the time for them.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you know, Benjamin left this in my house last night. Can you go take it to him by like the end of the day, please?
Although you can get like $9,000 if you put a artifacts up in like the auction house. Oh. They totally have like $9,000 to spend on like stupid stuff, but they won't pay for anything around your town.
Way to go, townsfolk.
You just
walk around with your shovels and your fishing poles and you don't do anything for me.
Don't do anything. Anyway, go ahead.
Been playing a lot of that, and I also got Papers, Please.
Okay. We've talked about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, we talked about that last episode, I thought. No?
We've talked about it before.
Oh. Yeah. But and for people who don't know or don't remember, it's an indie game where you play a border inspector of a fictional totalitarian government checking people's passports at a border.
Mm-hmm.
And progressively each day you get more stuff to use and more stringent rules to deny people with.
Yeah,
it gets more bureaucratically ridiculous as you go.
Oh my god,
it's like, tough. I've played a little bit of it.
Oh, serious! Like the first few times, I got pinged pretty bad for not checking the city of issuing of their passport. I'm like, really?
Oh yeah, yeah. They get really stringent.
Yeah, it's a good game and it's a smart game, and I wish I would have thought of it.
Yeah,
this is my opinion on Papers, Please.
No, but it's interesting. I like it. It's hard, though.
It's on Steam, right?
Yep. $10 right now, I think.
Cool.
But it gets so hard, because the money you get at the end of the day is how many people you get to go you check through that gate. And each day is harder and harder, because you get to check and double check more and more things. And so less and less people get through. And you also, you know, have to feed your family and make sure they have heat, or they're going to die.
Mm-hmm. Real fun game.
Yeah. And I guess there's like 20 different endings.
Huh.
Yeah.
Most of them are bad.
Yeah. There's 20 different endings. I guess there's like some secret things you can do, like for certain people who come through the checkpoint or something.
Mm. Okay.
Like you get like a special coin for them or something. Yeah. It's interesting. People don't like me. Oh, people don't like me at all, because I've been very by the number.
Well, you have to be, or you get in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of a heavy game. A
little bit. Yeah.
It is. It is, but I've been enjoying it.
Mm.
the weird way they talk is yeah,
it's kind of banjo kazooie almost.
A little bit, yeah.
In a Soviet bloc-ass nation,
yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I've really been doing.
I've had a little time with the new Pokemon.
Oh yeah, that just came out, didn't it?
Yeah, Sun and Moon.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Moon.
Nice.
I mean, it's really fantastic. It's Pokemon. Most of the stuff they changed is changed for the better.
Good.
The whole plot is different. I mean, it's not gym badges and gyms. It's different trials where you are doing like a variety of different things.
Yeah, it's like islands where they haven't implemented the league yet. So it's like precursor to,
yeah,
like organized Pokemon gym situations.
But it's really a breath of fresh air in a
franchise Pokemon world
that's needed it for some time.
Yeah.
There's only a couple things I don't like, and that's there's a map on the bottom screen with a mm-hmm. little flag that tells you exactly where to go at all times.
Okay.
Which kind of, it takes away the exploration feel that the other games have.
Well, they needed to make it easier for the kids.
Yeah.
For the children's.
But I don't like it.
Yeah.
Like, imagine playing the original game and walking into Viridian Forest and knowing exactly where to go.
Yeah, true.
You know, it hurts the game a little bit.
Then again, Viridian Forest is a straight shot, though, kind of.
Well, you got to go back and up and around, and there's different, it's like a legit dungeon in an RPG.
I guess. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And so far, there hasn't been anything like that in this one.
Hmm.
Wild Pokemon can call for help.
Oh.
Like, you know, like a Dragon Quest bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it is annoying. Because you can only catch Pokemon when they're by themselves.
Okay, yeah.
So you got to juggle these two Pokemon, get rid of one before you can catch the other. It's awful. And, like, they'll keep doing it over and over again, too. So you could be in one battle, if you really want to catch this Pokemon, you could be in one battle for, like, 20 minutes.
Wow, that sucks.
Yeah, it's really bad. I don't know why they approved that.
Yeah.
But other than those two kind of minor things, it's a fantastic game.
Cool. Who's your starter?
Okay, it's Litten.
It's Litten?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. I'm still thinking the Rowlet, but the more I see of Litten's final form, the giant wrestle cat.
Oh my god, Litten, the final
Z move.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
With the wrestling ring.
The moonsault, yeah. That's not really a moonsault, it's more like a 450 splashdown. I know enough about wrestling to know that what it's called is not actually what the cat is doing, but that's okay.
But like a ring pops up and everything.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's pretty great.
There's a big nuclear explosion.
I wish that there was a way to transfer the costume Pikachu from Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire into
Pikachu Libre.
Because then you would have Machamp, who is a wrestler. You would have Hawlucha, who is a luchador. You would have Luchador Pikachu and a wrestle cat. You can build a stable of wrestles.
Wrestle boys.
Wrestle boys. Yeah, that'd be pretty great.
You should name the cat, like, Purple Puma or Tiger Millionaire.
That would be great, actually.
Cena.
Cena. There you go. all caps.
All cats.
All cats. There it is. All right. Well, you know what? Let's go ahead and take a break here. And when we come back, we'll get in some news.
Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. MB Subculture is the one-stop shop for all your geeky needs, from comics and collectibles to unique custom costumes, masks, makeup, and more. MB Subculture is located at 127 South Sandusky Avenue in downtown Bucyrus, 419-562-0404, and online at subcultureoh.com.
We're back. That was Strange Magic by ELO. A song that should have been in Doctor Strange.
Yeah, like, it's such a gimme.
Yeah, yeah. If they wanted to make it more like Guardians of the Galaxy. Plus, they had all those scenes with Doctor Strange, like, naming off, like, singers and album
Chuck Mangione.
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, yeah.
That was really
that
good.
Song, too.
Yeah. We
I mean,
maybe
come on.
Next week.
Iron Man had Iron Man in it.
Yeah, true. All right, so let's get into some news.
We saw some Zords.
For the Power Rangers movie, let's all get mad about Power Rangers for 5 minutes.
Let's see if we can keep it at 5 minutes.
Let's see if we can keep it at 5 minutes. We're going to have to. Yeah, we have a lot to get through. But
Rage.
There were some, the toys for the movie were released. And first, it was the full Megazord, like, put together, which was garbage. It just looks like a dude in a tracksuit.
unrecognizable.
With like armor bits all over them. And then they released like the separate Zords. And they are all, they're near unrecognizable.
Oh, it's a trash pile.
It really is. The only one that I'm okay with, really, is the pterodactyl.
Yeah.
Although it doesn't really look like a pterodactyl. It just looks like a space fighter.
It looks like a cool spaceship.
Yeah.
Like, it sucks that it doesn't look like a pterodactyl, but if they were going to design a cool spaceship, they did
nailed
that.
It. Yeah. The T-Rex.
And the saber-toothed tiger.
Yeah, they have, like, weird, like...
guns on their backs.
They have giant guns on their back, because that's what the dinosaurs had, were giant guns. And the T-Rex face is like all weird and like there's no eyes or any discernible. It's just like an open like mouth. It almost looks like a Muppet kind of. Yeah.
Oh, the Triceratops face is awful.
Oh, it's terrible.
It looks like a weird frog, like Mass Effect Krogan-y looking thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And probably the worst one, the Mastodon has 8 legs.
You know, like Mastodons do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Samantha, have you seen these?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. They're the worst. They're the worst, and I hate them.
They're mostly gray, too, with little tiny bits of color.
Yeah, the contractually obligated amounts of color for a Power Rangers thing. It's the worst. And the thing is, I don't see how the 5 different robots fit together to make the Megazord.
Yeah, they don't. It doesn't make sense.
They're just going to probably all turn into liquid and then like congeal up into a weird fight robot.
The Ivan Ooze robots.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because it kind of looks like that.
Yeah. Like the Megazord has weird like human muscle definition.
Yeah.
It just looks like someone wearing Under Armour with like the workout gear.
Yeah.
With like...
with armor.
With regular armor over
with
top.
With over armor.
With like, yeah. With like cosplay armor on.
With like weird like spiky angel wings. Why?
I feel bad for kids who like Power Rangers who now have a movie coming out that's not aimed at them.
Oh, kids aren't going to see this.
It should be a kid's movie.
It should be, but kids aren't going to see this. They're making this movie for people who are our age that don't really... who are people who are our age but don't really remember Power Rangers and have always wanted it to be cool and edgy.
Yeah.
And,
well, it's the Suicide Squad crowd.
Exactly. And that sucks. That just sucks.
It's something that used to be fun and lighthearted that's being turned into something dour and edgelordy.
Go, go, mighty edgelord.
Yeah.
Welcome to 2016. Everything has to be dour. Just, gah, awful.
Can this year be over yet?
Right. Well, we still have a month. So let's move on to something a little different because I don't want to talk about Power Rangers anymore.
You're dead to me, Power Rangers.
Ghost in the Shell. That has a full trailer. I don't know. What'd you guys think?
It looks really cool. Like, they nailed the aesthetic.
I love the look of it. I'm
like,
I'm so conflicted.
Like, I posted this thing last night, I think. It was a... side-by-sides of the live-action trailer to the scenes from the original movie.
And we should say Ghost in the Shell is originally a manga that was turned into an anime movie years and years ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there's like 500 spinoff shows, too.
Yeah. And it's all cyberpunk stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've always super loved the Ghost in the Shell, like, universe.
Yeah.
Though, if you really want to read a lot of, like, neo-Japanese political crap... with some action, that's pretty much it.
Well, the manga was like 90% existentialism.
Mm-hmm.
The anime movie was about 60 to 70%. I could see this one being about 30%. Like, they're gonna cut out most of that.
Oh, yeah.
In lieu of action scenes with almost naked Scarlett Johansson.
Mm-hmm. But like, I was real mad about it, but then I watched the trailer and I sat and I thought about it and I was like,
oh, to be clear, we were mad about the whitewashing.
The whitewashing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm also mad at American interpretations of Japanese IPs because they never get it right.
Oh, if you want to get mad, there is a leaked script for Akira, the American Akira.
Oh, no.
The starring Keanu Reeves, where he and his brother were like American expatriates living in Neo-Tokyo, were subjected to... science experiments, and they both have like the weird goop powers.
Ew.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to get real mad, read that. It's on Cracked. One of the crack.com, one of the writers like broke it down. But anyway,
there was a version that took place in New York at one point, too.
Yes. Yeah. That was bad. I like the setting of the trailer. I like the action looks good. It's interesting that they're getting this movie out before the Blade Runner sequel, because it is the exact same style as Blade Runner, almost. More or less.
That aesthetic is my jam.
It is. It's really good. Yeah, it's good stuff. I'm still really, I don't care. As much as I like Scarlett Johansson, and I think she's going to do a great job, and I really, really, really hope they explain why you have Scarlett Johansson playing Major Makoto Kusanagi, you know?
Yeah.
Try to explain that, please. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I want to, I want to see it, but I don't know if I want to vote with my dollar in saying that whitewashing this character is okay, because that's what you're doing.
Yeah. And I just got tired of being mad about it, I guess.
Yeah. Well,
I'm just like, it sucks, but
I mean, it'd be different if they didn't hire such a talented actress
as
part of the problem.
Oh yeah.
If it was just some no name,
if it was a jobber, I wouldn't care at all. I mean, I wouldn't care about the movie at all. I wouldn't go see it. But yeah, I mean, I'm always mad about things. So that's my secret, Captain. I am always mad. And in this case, I don't know if I want to spend the money to support it.
I think I will, just because I want more cyberpunk stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Well, then I'll go see the Blade Runner 2.
Blade Runner,
whether it's good or bad, I'll support that.
I kind of wish they wouldn't make that movie at all.
Yeah.
Like, Blade Runner is such a great film, and it could just stand on its own forever, and that would be fine.
Blade Runner 2, two blades, two runners.
And yet, they're cashing on that nostalgia buck.
Sure, yeah.
Honestly, Ghost in the Shell is kind of a nostalgia book for me, too. It's like, because I grew up on it.
You see, that's the other thing. I have no attachment to the original. I saw the movie when I was in junior high.
Yeah, me too.
And haven't watched it since.
Yeah, I saw it in junior high, and the only thing I remember about it is I saw an anime boob.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I watch it about once a year, because I've always really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It was one of the first anime movies I actually bought.
Right on.
Was Ghost in the Shell. And I have seen 90% of all the spinoffs and stuff. Like, Standalone Complex was a great series. The Ghost in the Shell 2 movie was weird when you got the Major running around in a little kid robot body doing things. The Arise series that's been on Netflix is a big departure.
Arise, stop. Chicken.
I knew you were going to do that.
That's what it made me think of. Sorry.
BillyWitchDoctor.com. But I guess that's my big thing, is I've always been a real big fan of the Ghost in the Shell, and I don't know. I want it to be good, but at the same time, like, I'm in the same boat of, like, they could have got a Japanese actress. There are plenty out there that are super talented.
And we don't know. There could be a very, very good explanation why she's...
And I hope so.
They cast a white actress. The writer of the original manga has said that... he never designed the main character, the Major, as having any kind of distinct nationality. Like, it was completely non-like.
Which I will
blank
say
slate.
This,
and that's, you know,
yeah.
I guess that makes it okay a little bit, maybe.
Yeah,
but
I
still,
mean,
it's
if you're gonna design a robot, why not base it on Scarlett Johansson?
I mean, true. It's true. If I were gonna build a robot, I mean, yeah. Top of the list, I tell you what.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, something about it just still feels icky, and that's the best way I can describe it. And I don't use the word icky to describe anything in my day-to-day life, but that's just how
I mean
I feel about it. I don't know.
Yeah, you're could not be, wrong. It is a little icky.
Yeah,
it could be worse. It could be Gods of Egypt.
Oh God. Yeah. Yeah, it could have been that.
Yeah, I mean, at least there's Japanese people in the movie.
True. I'm happy to see Takeshi Kitano getting work. You know who that is, right?
No.
No.
Okay, he was in Battle Royale as the teacher. He was also that guy that created the game Takeshi's Challenge for the NES.
Oh, yeah.
He was a comedian that became... He was also Zatoichi in the Blind Samurai in those movies.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Him. He's a good actor, and I'm glad to see him get more work, especially in Western movies. because the last time he was in a movie set in America or made by Americans was it's the one that you like with the cyberpunk with Keanu Reeves where he's the courier with the chit thing in his
Johnny
brain.
Mnemonic.
Johnny Mnemonic. He had a bit part in Johnny Mnemonic.
That terrible,
great
movie.
That movie is awful.
Yeah. It's so awful. I enjoy it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But the one guy, I think his name's Bato. Looks weird.
Yeah, with the fake eyes. Yeah.
Looks weird. But that's
he's supposed to look weird.
What happened to that Scarlett Johansson Creature from the Black Lagoon movie they were making?
I don't know, but I wish it were still a thing.
Yeah. I wish she was the monster. Is that weird? I think that would be cool if she played the creature instead of...
That would be a good twist. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
What do you mean? They would just turn that basically into another species movie.
I'm okay with that. All right. Moving on to fully Japanese movies, I guess. They're doing a live action Full Metal Alchemist.
And I see what you did there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have no attachment to Full Metal Alchemist. I don't think I've seen a full episode of it ever in my life. So I have nothing to say about it. It just looks like another thing.
The trailer doesn't show much of anything, really. Like, you see glimpses. It's the Japanese equivalent to a teaser trailer is all it is.
I watched a lot of it when it was on Adult Swim, but not in order. So, like, I know the characters and I know some of the stuff that happens in the show, but not...
Not really any context or where it's going.
I know there's a guy with a missing arm, and I know there's a robot knight with the voice of a little kid, and I know that there is some
robot knight.
Yeah, he's a robot knight with the voice of a little kid with a bad actor. There's magic. I would assume. I would assume there is metal, and it is full of it.
And there's alchemy.
There is a bit of alchemy.
You know, we should always have a segment where Sam describes an anime.
Yeah,
based on...
sure. Okay, I'd do it. Yeah.
We need to do No, I Haven't Seen That Anime
Edition.
The
anime edition.
With
yeah.
Sam.
Yeah.
Sit down and make you watch Yuri.
Yuri on Ice.
Oh, jeez.
I love it.
But yeah, it really doesn't show much of anything. You don't even see what Ed looks like, really. All you see is like quick flashes of blonde hair and a red coat.
Oh, so the main character's name is Ed. I didn't even know that.
Edward and Alphonse Elric.
Oh.
They are brothers.
How's his brother a giant robot knight?
Don't
explain it to me. It's okay.
No, his soul is bound to armor.
Oh, so he's not a robot.
He's not a robot.
Nope. He is. He is essentially magic armor.
Oh, all right. I'm even less interested.
Because they tried to bring their mom back to life using alchemy. And
it didn't go so well.
Yeah, it didn't go so great.
There's a thing called equivalent exchange, and they did not pay it. So the forces that make up alchemy took Ed's arm and was destroying Alphonse's body, and so he sacrificed his leg to bind Alphonse's soul to the armor. Boom. Full Metal Alchemist.
I'm sorry, what? I just kind of totally
It's a good show. It's
gone for a sec.
Show.
Yeah,
it's a great show.
Plus, I'm sure it is.
Plus, Ed,
pretty dark.
Oh yeah. Plus, Ed has a Napoleon complex, and it speaks to me on levels.
Okay, let's. We got a lot of news to get through, and not a whole lot of time to do it. So let's keep on a trucking. Hey, Miyazaki is coming out of retirement again to make another
anime movie.
Like
the third or fourth time.
Yeah.
Apparently, anime was not as big a mistake as he once claimed. Have you ever heard that quote?
Did he actually say that?
Anime is a mistake. Yes, he said that. That is a direct quote from Hayao Miyazaki, the grandfather of the Walt Disney of Japan. Yes, anime was a mistake. That's what he said the last time he retired. He hates his son so much that he needs to come out of retirement again to show him up one last time. That's also a thing. He hates his son who took over his art studio after he retired.
Well, he's like a notoriously grumpy perfectionist,
yeah,
too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Do we know anything about this new movie? Or
I don't think they really said anything or what it's about.
Yeah.
No, not really.
Yeah, he just wants to do one more before he dies.
Yeah. This is the fourth or fifth time he's done that?
Yeah.
He said that?
It'll be a beautiful movie.
Yeah.
All of his movies are beautiful.
Oh, sure. It's going to be really great.
Kind of reminds me, Spirited Away is coming back to theaters briefly.
Yeah. For its anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Anniversary?
Anniversary.
Nice.
Animeversity.
Yeah, perfect.
That's honestly, it's probably one of my favorites. That one and Spirited Away. It is
Spirited Away and Spirited Away.
Top two on the list.
Princess Mononoke is the other one. That one's really dark.
Spirited Away 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Spirited Away again.
Spirited Away 3, Tokyo Drift. That is the second Fast and Furious joke I've made on this show. All right. Last bit of movie news before we move on to another topic.
Two Neighbor, Two Totoro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ponyo 7.
God, no. I didn't like Ponyo 1.
No one did.
I thought Ponyo was okay.
Cute. It's cute, but it's not great.
It was.
Isn't it Finding Dory? Or Finding Nemo?
Pretty much.
It's essentially The Little Mermaid.
Well, okay.
I mean, I got the feel that one was for the little kids.
Gotcha.
Like Finding Nemo.
Well, speaking of movies for the little kids, there's a trailer for Beauty and the Beast, the live action, and it looks pretty good.
Really, shot yeah, for really shot.
Yeah, very close to shot for shot.
The yellow dress is like perfectly done.
The Beast looks like the Beast.
Yeah, he looks good.
Oh,
yeah.
He looks more handsome than the original Beast.
But at least they didn't do the thing where it's just like a dude with some horns and a scar.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm so hideous. And
oh, you
like,
mean like that Beastly show?
Yeah, I was like,
where he just had tattoos
really.
On his face?
Yeah.
You look kind of rad and hot.
But it looks good. I forgot that Kevin Kline was in the movie. He's Belle's dad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he's a good actor. That's cool.
Who's Gaston?
I don't know.
The trailer needed.
He's not buff enough.
Oh, no, God, no. They should have got the guy who plays Gaston at Disney World.
They should have gotten a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
Dave honestly, Batista as Gaston. Put a giant pompadour wig on on Drax the Destroyer and just call it a day.
Honestly, a wrestler would have been perfect.
Yeah.
Because that's...
John Cena.
He just walks on screen. Bah, 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 bah.
Like an old school like band playing, like orchestra in the background playing it.
At the bar where they're doing the... Yeah. Nobody doesn't see it coming like Gaston.
Oh, Gaston, I didn't see you there.
Luke Evans is playing Gaston.
I don't know.
I don't know who that is. Isn't that Chris Evans' brother?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Oh, man. He was in... Dracula Untold.
Ooh.
Oh,
not
boy.
As Vlad.
Okay, not a good start,
is that
but keep
Dracula?
Going. Yeah, that's Dracula.
He was in one of the Fast and the Furious movies.
Tying it all together.
Yeah,
he was in The Raven.
Okay.
That weird crime drama movie with Edgar
Allan
Poe.
Oh, that one, Detective Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah. He was the detective.
Mm.
Edgar Allan P.I.
And he was in The Hobbit.
As who?
Bard. The guy's name is Bard.
Bard number 4.
I was going to say he's in the background.
No, with a lute.
Yeah.
Buffing the party. He played the character Bard, who is from the town, who shoots a big arrow at the dragon. Anyway.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
Billy,
that is who
Billy the Bard.
It. Yeah. Anyway, it looks good. I'm excited for it.
Emma Watson's great.
Yeah, this might be a live-action Disney movie that I will enjoy.
I don't think I've seen any of them.
I watched Cinderella.
Perfectly okay.
They're pretty much shot for shot,
they're
honestly.
They're kind of neutral. That's the best I can
say. Yeah,
that's
kind of what I've got from them. Is that they're...
Neutral at best and Alice in Wonderland at worst.
I didn't like the first Alice in
and that second one's awful. It's real bad. I hope you love Johnny Depp because it's pretty much just Mad Hatter, the movie.
Man, I forgot Ewan McGregor was Lumiere.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Gandalf is Cogsworth.
Nice, nice.
The designs for the servant furniture people are pretty good, too.
They are good, yeah.
And then they'll look less lame than like a bunch of CG animals.
Yeah, very true. Yeah.
Look at you, Jungle Book.
Hey, Jungle Book actually, that was all right. Again, pretty neutral, but okay. Anyway, we have a bunch of game news. Let's flip over to that. And it's all Nintendo, as it turns out.
Well, that's all we ever talk about is Nintendo.
Yeah,
anyway.
I know. We are
honestly,
we're
is there anything,
Nintendo marks.
There's
I know.
Nothing really coming out from the other people, though.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway, so I guess the Pokemon Sun and Moon got leaked. and
some filthy hackers.
So yeah, awful, awful people did that. And I guess some people who decided to download the game early and were dumb enough to put it online.
Yeah, like, to play online.
Play online.
Use the online feature.
So Nintendo is banning their accounts from like every service that they have, including the eShop and everything.
They are essentially locking their DSs out.
Yeah, and serves them right.
Yeah, I mean, you stole. You stole from Nintendo. There's consequences to your actions.
Yeah, terrible.
They're bringing that Donkey Kong hammer right down on you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then people are getting mad because they're getting their stuff locked out. But that's what you get.
I'll never buy another Nintendo product.
You're
ever.
Right. You won't, because Nintendo will stop you forever.
You didn't buy it to begin with. It's like stealing something. Like stealing from Nintendo and then showing up at their house with it, with what you stole. Like,
yeah.
Why would you think you could play it online?
it's like stealing something, then taking it back to like the service counter saying, I want a return for this thing that I sold
for. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. And then getting mad because you're being kicked out of the store.
Yeah. That's pretty much exactly what it is.
Yeah. Speaking of people getting mad about Nintendo, the NES Classic is released, and oh, look at that, it's sold out. Just like that. Just that quick.
Yeah, I didn't even get a chance to get one, because you can't.
You just can't.
Because Nintendo made four.
They pretty much. I don't why Nintendo feels they need to artificially inflate the supply and demand for all of their products is beyond me.
Yeah.
It was the same thing with Amiibos when they first came out. It's the same thing. It's going to be the same thing with the Switch.
Hopefully they learn from this and how much it makes people angry.
They haven't learned yet.
Well, like, it doesn't make sense for this. This is well, it's not dumb, but it's just a silly $60 console that plays regular Nintendo games. Mm. It should be on every end cap, filling every store.
Well, what they don't want is to have unsold product. What they want to do is say that everyone that we've made, we've sold, so that it's all return, so that's all positive gain for them. There's no loss, there's no unsold product. So they're going to drip feed it to the consumer, and while also building the hype, because now not only do you have this thing that costs $60 and has 30 classic games and is a great way to play the games, now you have people who are like, this thing is super rare. I was previously not interested in it. Now I'm interested because it's super rare.
But you also got the dirty, dirty scalpers.
Nintendo doesn't care as long as they sell, make that initial sell. Yeah. They could care less what they do with their others once you get it.
But there's not even a good excuse for doing that, like, because it's easy. It's not hard to make.
Yeah.
It's not using any cutting edge.
It's the same thing
components.
With a Nintendo Pokemon Plus tracker thing. They're drip feeding that too.
I forgot that even existed because it's so hard to get.
Yeah.
I've never in my life even seen one in a store.
Neither have I.
Because I probably would have bought it.
Yeah, see, there you go. And how often do you play Pokemon Go?
Almost never.
Well, then Nintendo has done their job. They have made you want a thing that you really don't need.
Oh, man. Do you remember when we used to walk up and down the block playing Pokemon?
That one time? Yeah, I remember that one time we did that.
Everybody was.
Everybody did that, yeah.
And then they don't update it.
Yeah.
Well, that's not Nintendo.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, they have updated it quite a bit. They have daily challenges now, which is cool.
Oh, cool.
You get a bonus for catching one every day for a week. And same thing with going to Pokemon stops. And yeah, they're trying to make people get interested. They also added code for Ditto and the Gen 2 Pokemon into the last update. So they just need to turn on the unlock. And it's probably going to be first of the year
the
when
Switch.
They do it. Yeah.
Turn on the Gen 2 Switch.
Pretty much. Yeah. Because they're in there. Yeah.
They just didn't update anything fast enough. And if I hear somebody complain about the lack of a tracker again.
They're slowly rolling out that Pokemon Stop tracker thing. I guess they have to physically go and set up at each one to kind of make it work.
Huh.
So right now, California and Seattle can can use it.
That's weird.
It is, but they're slowly working on it.
Any article I read about Pokemon Go every time is somebody complaining that there's no tracker. It's like, shut up.
Yeah.
You can still play the game.
Just go walk.
Yeah.
Just go walk. That's the point of the game.
Yeah, you're not understanding the point of the game.
Yeah.
So speaking of Nintendo apps.
Oh, yeah. Mario Run.
Yeah.
Yeah, they put a date on it. December 15th it comes out.
And a price.
Costs $10, which I think is completely reasonable.
It is. Well, I want to play the game as a demo before I spend the $10.
Which it lets you do.
Yeah. I want to make sure that the game is
worth $10.
Worth the $10.
Because I feel like $10 is a bit much for a phone app. That's just my personal
opinion. How much do the Final Fantasy games cost on
like
phone?
They're like 15, I think.
Yeah, hence why I haven't bought them.
Well, I kind of hate this attitude that that phone games aren't worth anything.
Oh, I'm not saying they aren't. I'm not. I don't know.
I mean, a lot of them aren't.
Yeah, I'm adopting a wait and see policy on this one. I don't know.
But people work really hard to make. Not all phone apps, but a lot of phone apps, and then they can't charge more than 99 cents without people getting their panties in a twist, and that irks me a little bit.
If Mario Run is at the level of a short-form Mario game, if it's not just a simple runner, if it actually has a little bit of substance to it, I will have no problem spending $10 on it, but I need to know before I blindly spend the $10. Just that simple.
I wish they would explain what that kingdom builder part of it is.
Yeah.
They showed it a little. You can like kind of build your own little mushroom kingdom area, but they didn't explain what it does or why you would want to do that.
Probably custom maps to share out to other people. And that's probably what part of the $10 will allow you access to. I don't know.
Welcome to my land of Mariotopia.
Yeah.
Where everyone is player one.
They announced a Zelda escape room and continuing Nintendo news.
Yeah.
That is an interesting twist.
Yeah, and it's not like a regular escape room. It's like a big, like a whole room full, like, well, not room, but like a whole hall full of people do it together, like, well, not even together. It's hard to describe. Yeah.
Why don't you describe what an escape room is for the folks at home that don't quite know what it is?
An escape room is like, it's a game that where somebody makes out like a puzzle or
a physical puzzle, go into a room, you go somewhere and
they lock you in a room with puzzles to solve to get out.
Yeah.
And they're like, they don't really lock you in a room.
No.
It's a fun game.
Yeah.
It's and, like a real life video game puzzle kind of experience.
Yeah. And they've been getting pretty popular over the last year or so.
Oh yeah. There's like the Columbus.
There's a couple in Columbus. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be terrible at them. I'm not puzzle. The puzzle sections of games are the thing that I have the worst time with because I'm not a details guy.
Well, as long as I'm not facing off against zombies or a silver monkey statue that's in three pieces, I think I'll be all right.
Oh, yeah. You got to watch out for those temple guards.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. Legends of the Hidden Temple. Heck yeah.
Is that movie out yet?
I hope not.
It looked real bad.
It doesn't look great. Although Olmec looks like Olmec.
I know, right?
That's good, at least.
They drug that old robot out of cold storage.
I guess Kurt Fogg is somewhere in the movie.
He is in the movie, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
He's like a main character.
That's pretty great.
They dusted him off.
Yeah, they pulled him out of storage, too. All right. I think we've pretty well hit our time, so let's get out of here. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us at Facebook at facebook.com/nerdoverloadradio.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can tweet at us at @nerd_overload and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV.
Yep, and we are on iTunes and Stitcher. And I just want to say again, thank you all for tuning in. We really appreciate every single person that tunes in. Until next week.
Peace out.
This show was sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes.